This is the Thriving Dentist Show with Gary Takacs, where we help you develop your ideal dental practice, one that provides personal, professional, and financial satisfaction.
Welcome to another edition of the Thriving Dentist Show. I'm Gary Takacs, your show host. Very excited to bring you a show today loaded with content. If you're a regular listener to the Thriving Dentist Show, you know that the usual format is an interview format, where I interview an authority in dentistry and talk about their area of expertise. However, occasionally I do a solo show that allows me to dive quite deeply into a particular area of content, and that's what I'm going to do today. Recently, I produced a show that was titled The 6 Most Important Lessons of 2014. Again, that was titled The 6 Most Important Lessons of 2014. If you're new to the Thriving Dentist Show, all of the shows published back to the very first one are available on the website, Takacs, T-A-K-A-C-S, learningcenter.com. Again, T-A-K-A-C-S, learningcenter.com. And also, they're available in the archives section of iTunes. So if you're new to the Thriving Dentist Show, please know you can listen to all of these shows. I recently did this show, again, titled The 6 Most Important Lessons of 2014. And one of the lessons I shared with our listening audience was the importance of auditing our systems. And I had suggested in that show that there's 24 different systems that I've defined, different business systems in a dental practice. And I suggested that it was important to audit those on a regular basis. And to keep the project from becoming overwhelming, if I told any of you to go out and hear, here's the list of the 24 systems and I want you to go out and audit them, that'd be an overwhelming process that would likely, we'd be excited about doing that, but the task of actually doing that would be quite overwhelming. So I suggested what I'm teaching my clients and what I'm doing in my own office, which is to take two of those systems each month and audit those. And what I mean by audit the system is to evaluate your current details of the system against your ideal, the ideal system, and then make changes and corrections where your current system is falling short and bring it back up to speed. And I suggested that we do two of those a month. Well, if we do the math, at the end of the year, we'll have audited all 24 of your systems. And then, by the way, when we finish that, guess what we're going to do? We're going to do exactly what the painting crew does on the Golden Gate Bridge. I love sharing this anecdote. There's a crew of painters whose permanent job is to paint the Golden Gate Bridge. And when they finish it, guess what? They're back to the starting point, and that point needs painting again, so they go back around and paint it again. And so literally, there's a crew of painters that their entire job is spent painting the Golden Gate Bridge. Well, just like that, when we finish auditing your systems, then it's time to go back around and do that again. Let me share my inspiration for this project of, first of all, defining the 24 systems for a thriving dental practice, and then also talking about this audit process so we bring it up to speed. Most of you know that although I am not a dentist, I do own a dental practice. It's called Life Smiles Dental Care, located in Phoenix, Arizona. Dr. Paul Nielsen and I bought this practice in May of 2007, and we've been evolving that into our ideal practice. It's still a work in progress. We still have some work to do, but very proud of the progress we've made over the last 7+ years. One of the reasons I wanted to own a practice was I wanted to have a test kitchen or a learning and teaching laboratory where I could test concepts out and then I could share the good and bad, what we learned with my audiences and also with our clients. And, I have to tell you, I thought it would be useful owning a practice. That's why I wanted to own a practice was to have that test kitchen. However, I must tell you that it has turned out to be far more useful than I ever imagined. I spend regular time in my practice, and every time I spend time in the practice, I learn things. And I add those to my slides when I'm speaking, and I add those to my work list when I'm working with clients. I've been in over 2,100 practices as a coach and as a consultant over the years, but owning a practice has really elevated my knowledge to a an even deeper level, because I'm dealing with the very same things that you guys deal with on a day-to-day basis. And so while I thought it was going to be useful owning a practice, it has so far exceeded my expectations that I wouldn't want to do what I do, you know, as a coach, as a consultant, as a speaker, without owning a practice, because it literally grounds me every day in the details and the challenges that you have to deal with every day. Well, in my own practice, I've always been a systems person. And when I say systems, I'm not talking about computer systems. I'm talking about the way we do things in your practice, the way we the operational procedures of how we do things in your practice. And for the sake of this podcast, I'm talking about business systems in your practice. And one of the things I noticed in my own practice is that systems have a way of naturally degrading. And over time, those systems kind of morph into something that's very different than what you set out to do when you first built the system. I'm sure all of the listeners can identify with that process of systems degrading. And you know, I think it happens innocently. For example, it could be a new team member. You know, you hire a new team member and perhaps she comes with a different background, different experience, and she starts to inject some of the things that she's done in other offices. It could be that details just kind of slip away and what we used to do, we're not doing anymore. It could be laziness. It could be that sometimes the systems are too detailed and too complex, and next thing you know, things start getting dropped. But whatever the reason, I noticed that in my own practice, systems would degrade. And as I noticed that in my own practice, I started to look for that when I was out visiting offices, when I was coaching, consulting in offices. You know, my day job is serving as a coach and consultant in a practice just like yours somewhere around the country. Myself and my coaches are in practices just like yours somewhere around the country. And as I started to notice this in my practice, you know, it's kind of like that, you know, if you buy a silver car, next thing you know, you see silver cars everywhere. You know, isn't that the truth? And as I started to notice this systems degrading phenomenon in my own practice, I started to notice it everywhere in my client offices as well. You know, that helped me feel better because I quickly discovered, wait a minute, that wasn't just us. It's happening everywhere. So here's what I'm going to do in this Thriving Dentist Show episode. I am going to list each of the 24 systems with a quick description of what that system should accomplish. I will try to put a measurement to it whenever I can. Some of these systems defy measurement. I'd like to measure whenever we can, because if we can measure something quantifiably, then it becomes an easy way to track it over time. Frankly, some of these systems are not easy to measure, and I've yet to determine exactly how to put a measurement to them. But whenever possible, I'm going to put a measurement to those so that you can measure your performance. And that way, when you're auditing your system, you can measure your performance against the ideal. And in doing so, it'll help you maintain a higher standard. Well, hey, let's dive right in. I'll number these 1 through 24 to make sure that I cover all 24, but please know they are not numbered in any kind of importance. It's a random numbering. I would think that all of them are equally important, but let's go ahead and dive right in. System number 1, a scheduling template to achieve a daily production goal. A scheduling template to achieve a daily production goal. And by the way, I recommend that you break this down into providers. And for the sake of this system, I'm going to talk about a scheduling template to achieve a daily doctor production goal. I suggest that one of the things you do in your practice is you determine what the doctor needs to produce on a daily basis. And that should be adjusted production, by the way, if you happen to participate with insurance plans and you have adjusted fees related to those insurance plans. You should come up with a daily goal. And then I suggest that you build a template to support that daily goal. So the idea is to engineer your schedule for consistently productive days instead of just filling names in. One of this is a system that I see degraded in many practices. For example, let's say that your doctor production goal was $4,000 a day, and I'm simply making up a number for the sake of illustration. Let's say that your doctor production goal was $4,000 a day. When I say create a scheduling template, I'd like you to think of a couple of power blocks or production blocks in your schedule to support that $4,000 day. And on a $4,000 day, you might only need to have two production blocks in your schedule. And again, depending on the type of procedures that you do and so on, you'll have to define what can go in those blocks. But if you're a typical general dental practice, then the kind of things that need to go in those blocks are crown preps. They could be fillings if they're quadrants of fillings. Root canals could be considered a production block depending how quick you are. But the idea is to have two blocks a day that can be filled with nothing but prescribed treatment that will allow you to achieve your goal. As you build those blocks into your schedule, I suggest that you also build some reality into it and that you can release those blocks with a 48-hour hold on those blocks, meaning that if your scheduling team member has not been able to fill those within 48 hours, within 2 days roughly, and when I say 48 hours, I don't mean it down to the decimal point, but roughly 2 days ahead, if she isn't able to fill it with something that you define as your production block, then go ahead and just fill it with anything. So I want you to go back and revisit your scheduling template to achieve a daily doctor production goal. System number two. Now, I'm going to suggest, this one is a lot of fun, suggest number two, a scheduling system to accommodate new patients within 2 to 3 days. A scheduling system to accommodate new patients within 2 to 3 days. You know, one of my best friends and personally and professionally is Fred Joyal. I've had Fred on the show a number of times. I'll have him back again. You know, he wrote the book, Everything is Marketing. And one of the points that Fred makes in that book is that if you can shorten the time period between the phone call from a new patient and their appointment, the likelihood that they'll show up goes up dramatically. That makes common sense, doesn't it? So I'd like you to create a system in your practice to accommodate new patients, ideally within 2 to 3 days. And by the way, the language that we use, that I train my team members to use on the phone, we get the patient's name, and let's say her name is Linda, and Linda's calling to make a new patient appointment. Linda, we love seeing new patients in our practice, and a doctor has asked me to reserve specific time each week to accommodate people just like you. I can see you on Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning. Which would you prefer? So notice that positive languaging that goes along with that. And again, what you need to do is go back into this block system. Just like I've asked you to block production blocks, I want you to block the number of new patient slots that you need to support your practice. We typically see 3 new patients a day in my practice. Now, we're a 2-doctor practice, but we typically see 3 new patients a day in our practice. And with that, we have to have enough blocks to accommodate those. And again, I suggest using a 48-hour release so that if you haven't filled those with a new patient, you can go ahead and release those. If you find that you're filling up all those and you're no longer able to accommodate that 2 to 3 day advance notice, you may need to put more of those blocks in place for new patients. System number three. A hygiene scheduling system to achieve a daily production goal of $1,200 per hygienist. Let me repeat that again. A hygiene scheduling system to achieve a daily production goal of $1,200 per hygienist. What counts as hygiene production? The way I calculate that, anything that happens in the room, with the exception of the doctor exam. So anything that happens in that room with the exception of the doctor exam. So we do count x-rays. We would count sealants, fluoride trays, anything else that we'd be doing in that room with the exception of the doctor exam. And today, my goal is $1,200 per hygienist. This is the same concept of a scheduling system for the doctor, except it's much simpler because of the range of services provided in hygiene. Basically, what we need to do is make sure that we've got some available periodontal therapy appointments each day in your practice. That could be a 43-55, it could be a 49-10, could be a 43-41, could be a 43-42. 43-41 is a quadrant of SRP. All teeth, 4342 is 1 to 3 teeth, 4355 is a debridement, and 4910 is a periodontal prophy. So make sure that you've got some available slots, available appointments on your schedule to handle SRPs and to handle periodontal therapy. If you'll have one or two of those a day, depending on what the particular code mix is, then you'll consistently hit that goal of $1,200 per day in hygiene. Number four, a collection system to collect patient copayment at or before time of service. Again, a collection system in your practice to collect patient copayment at or before time of service. So one of the things that you'll have to do to support this system in your practice is to have a variety of payment options. We have a number of payment options. Let me go through those very quickly for you. Number one, we offer a prepayment courtesy for patients to pay the patient copayment at or before time of service. We offer a 5% discount. We don't call it a discount. We call it a prepayment courtesy. So we might say something like this: Linda, your investment for that care, and again, this is happening at the consult appointment. Linda, your investment for that care is $1,000. If you'd like to go ahead and take care of payment today, we're happy to offer you a 5% prepayment courtesy. That'd be a savings to you of $50. Would you like to go ahead and take care of payment today and take advantage of that savings? After prepayment, we offer payment at time of service by cash, check, or credit card. We accept all four: Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. Door number three, we now have payment by outside finance. We have a great system set up through Care Credit for outside finance. And then door number four, we have a wonderful system. If we can't get the other ones to work, we have a wonderful system set up through comprehensive finance that allows us to provide financing to patients where we can't quite get the other payment options to work. The benchmark that you're looking for, I'm going to share four specific benchmarks to measure your payment performance when it comes to this system. Number one, I want you to collect 99% or more of your adjusted production each month. 99% or more of your adjusted production each month. Number two, I want your total accounts receivable to be equal or less than 1 month's average production. Total accounts receivable, everything that's owed the practice, including insurance. I want that to be equal to or less than 1 month's average production. Number three, I want you to have no more than 20% of your accounts receivable age 60 days or more. So I want only 20% or less of your accounts receivable age 60 days or more. And number four, when it comes to your insurance claims, for a single doctor practice, I'd like you to have no more than 20 claims, no more than 20 outstanding claims that are aged 30 days or more. This is one of those categories that we can measure very, very specifically. So again, system number four, a collection system to collect patient copayment at or before time of service. Let's go to system number five, a system to follow up on past due insurance claims. Remember that fourth benchmark that I used just a minute ago. I want no more than 20 claims for a solo doctor practice to be aged more than 30 days. So if you had two doctors in your practice, I would allow that to slide up to 40 claims that were aged 30 days or more. Obviously, the fewer, the better. So you need to set up a system to follow up on past due insurance claims. By the way, this is one of those systems that seems to just disappear in practices, especially as practices get busier. At one time it was set up and next thing you know, it just disappears. And now we have no system to follow up on past due claims. But I recommend that one of your team members be responsible for this and that she dedicate time each week to follow up on past due claims. You know, there's a saying that you've heard before, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And that saying is very appropriate for this particular system. If you don't follow up with the insurance company, they'll take their sweet time paying you. But if you follow up with them on a regular basis, you'll be pushing those claims through the payment process, and you'll have less claims outstanding. System number six. Now we've talked about a system number five, follow up on past due insurance claims. Now we need a system to follow up on past due patient accounts, a collection system, if you will. You know, I in the ideal world, you never have to follow up. Everyone does what they said they would do and la, 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 la. Well, in the real world, it doesn't work that way. So you need a system to follow up on past due patient accounts. If you set up a payment arrangement with the patient, you need to follow up with those. So we need a really good system. And again, whoever's responsible for this on your team needs to dedicate time each week to follow up on past due patient accounts. System number 7, we need a system to follow up on unscheduled treatment plans. And I'm talking about the relatively minor stuff, the everyday stuff you see in your practice. I'm going to talk in a minute about a system for bigger cases, but I'm talking about a system to follow up on unscheduled treatment plans. One of the reports that I run on a regular basis when I visit a practice is the unscheduled treatment plan report. And recently I was in a practice, a younger practice, and I ran an unscheduled treatment plan report, and I discovered that there was over $1.5 million worth of dentistry that had been diagnosed and not completed. $1.5 million. And yet this is a practice where the doctor was absolutely convinced that he needed more new patients. And yes, in fact, he does need more new patients. But what he needs even more than that is a good system to follow up on patients that have been recommended treatment but haven't completed those. So I recommend you set up a good system to follow up on unscheduled treatment plans. Lori does this in my practice, and she does a fabulous job of this. We set it up monthly, and she creates a simple Excel spreadsheet that lists the patient's name, the treatment that's been diagnosed. We pull that from our unscheduled treatment plan report, and then she has a section in her Excel spreadsheet where she can write notes. And one thing I will tell you is that we have found very high success in following up with patients, especially when it's done in a very caring, very compassionate tone. For example, we might say, Linda, I see here that doctors recommended some fillings for that area on the upper left. I noticed those haven't been scheduled yet. I'm just concerned. I wanted to follow up with you. You know, fillings have a way, they usually don't take care of themselves. Fillings have a way of becoming root canal and crown, root canals and crowns, and we'd always rather take care of it ahead of time, conservatively, if at all possible. I just wanted to follow up with you and see if you're ready to schedule that treatment. If we can add information about insurance, in other words, that this is near the end of the year, we might say it looks like you might have some unused benefits. You may want to get that done before the end of the year. At the beginning of the year, you could use a little bit of an opposite message. Hey, Linda, you've got a new year worth of insurance benefits. It doesn't look like you've used any of those. You may want to think about planning for using those benefits this year while you have those. System number 8, a system to follow up on big cases. And these might be cosmetic cases, it might be restorative cases, they might be dental implants, they might be your sedation cases. But just like we need a system to follow up on unscheduled treatment plans, we need a system to follow up on the big cases. In some cases, we're waiting for something. We might be waiting for a wax up from the lab. In other cases, the patient is waiting for something. They might be waiting for their economics to improve. We've heard patients say, well, I'll have that done when I get my tax refund check. Or, right now things are a little bit tight coming off the holidays, but, as we get further on in the year, it might be a good time to follow up on that. And so we simply have the same kind of Excel spreadsheet set up that notes the patient's name, their recommended treatment, and then follow-up notes. And again, we've found that we're very effective at following up with our patients. I'm amazed at how often some gentle follow-up does wonders in terms of getting those patients in the schedule. And one of the things you might ask is that, Linda, we've gone over a lot of details related to that treatment. I thought I'd just follow up and see if you had any questions. Sometimes the follow-up is related to them needing to talk it over with a spouse or relative. For example, you might have an older female patient in your practice that says, I need to talk it over with my husband. Again, you can follow up and say, Linda, I just wanted to follow up with you see if you had any questions for us, or see if your husband had any questions. Be happy to spend as much time as you like going over any questions you have. So again, a system to follow up on big cases, system number 8. System number 9, a system to ask for patient referrals, a system to ask for patient referrals. I think I sound like a broken record on this one, but we all know how valuable it is to get patient referrals. Those are the best patients that come into our practice. However, You know, I got to tell you that in my experience in visiting over 2,100 practices, I could probably count on one hand the number of time I've heard the doctor or team members ask for referrals. It just doesn't happen. So that system has a way of not just degrading, has a system of evaporating. So one of the things you might do in your system is you might set up a process in your morning huddle. I'll talk about that later. But in the morning huddle, to identify appropriate patients to ask for referral. And I would do two things. I would identify patients. You want to ask the happy, positive patients in your practice, outgoing, social, gregarious. Those are the kind of patients that refer. And then you want to decide who's going to ask them. So you could just ask the question organically. Let's say, her name is Susan. And then we might ask, who wants to ask Susan today? So rather than having everyone ask Susan, or what more commonly happens, nobody asked because everybody assumes someone else was. Now we've got a system to ask for referrals. Some days there might not be anyone on your schedule. That's okay. I'm not going to suggest any kind of a mechanical or forced process here, but just look at your schedule on a daily basis and let patients know. How might I do that? I might do that by saying something like this. And again, I'm going to assume that Susan is one of our wonderful, happy patients that we love to see. Susan, we sure love seeing you in our practice. You know, I know when I see your name on the schedule, I know I'm going to have a good day. Hey, we love seeing new patients as well in the practice. Susan, would you do us a favor and send us more people just like you? It's a very simple, easy way to ask for referrals. And again, I don't suggest you script that. I suggest you develop your own way of doing that. But come up with a system to ask for patient referrals. System number 10, a system to ask for online reviews, in particular, Google reviews. Now, we have recently gone to an automated system for this that has been unbelievable in my practice. Absolutely unbelievable. I'm using a system called DentalX. In fact, I beta tested this in my practice. The company came to me and wanted to test this. They had launched a similar system in orthodontics called Ortho Extreme. And they wanted to introduce that to the general dental population and ask if I would test some different systems. It involves a kiosk or a tablet. You can do it either way. We use the tablet form. We didn't have a good place for a kiosk in our office, so we simply had a tablet set up where we ask patients to write a quick survey, answer a quick survey about their visit today. So we might say something like this. Hey, Bob, we sure enjoy seeing you as a patient in our practice. Would you do us a favor and let us know how we did today? And we hand them the tablet, and they answer. First of all, they rate us on a star system, up to 10 stars, 10 being thrilled, one being disappointed. So they answer on a star system from 1 to 10, and then they provide us some notes and comments about their visit. That then gets converted into a Google review and completely Google compliant. So in other words, it goes to the company. They happen to be located in Vancouver, Washington. So the survey goes to DentalX, located in Vancouver, Washington. From there, it then goes back to the patient for approval, and then it gets submitted to Google via the patient's IP address. Hence, it's completely Google compliant, completely Google compliant. This process of getting reviews has literally, it's a massive breakthrough for us in our practice. In fact, we are now the most reviewed general dental practice in Phoenix. And as a result of that, that's helping us a great deal when it comes to our Google ranking and many other factors as well. By the way, if you'd like more information about that, text the word GO, G-O, text the word GO to phone number 503-342-8868. Again, text the word GO, G-O, to 503-342-8868, and then they'll supply you some information back to your cell phone and ultimately to your email address as well. Again, the company's called DentalX, so we've automated the system to ask for online reviews, and the fact of automating it has made a massive difference. Again, the company's called DentalX. Phenomenal. I'm very happy to be involved and happy to have been a beta tester for them and happy to share their information with our listeners. So system number 11, a system for you, doctor, to analyze your practice overhead in five specific expense categories. And those five expense categories are team wages, lab, outside lab, dental supplies, your facility costs, whether that be mortgage or rent, and your marketing. And again, let me give you benchmarks for where each one of those percentages should be. I'm going to give you a percentage. And when I give you a percentage, it's a percentage of revenue, not a percentage of expenses. It's a percentage of revenue. So your team wages, doctor, should be 28% or less. And that's an all-in expense. When I say all-in, I mean that includes everything. FICA, FUTA, payroll taxes, matching 401k, any benefits that you have in there. So 28% or less for team wages. Your lab, if you're using an outside lab, should be between 8 and 10%. 8 and 10% of your revenue, somewhere between 8 and 10. Dental supplies should be 6%. I'm talking about consumable dental supplies. Your facility costs, mortgage, rent, should be between 5 and 7%. And your marketing expense should be right at around 5%. And my concept here of these five categories is these five categories will constitute about 80 to 85% of your total expenses. You may have 35 to 40 individual line items of expense in your practice. But the five that I just mentioned, team wages, lab, dental supplies, facility expense, and marketing will constitute 80 to 85% of those expenses. So you get these right, and it doesn't matter what the other line item expenses are because these constitute the majority of your expenses. System number 12, a system to achieve a whitening goal of one whitening procedure per day. One whitening procedure per day. We have three different forms of whitening, or I recommend to my clients, and we have three different forms of whitening. Chairside is one option. Second, custom trays and take home. And then number three, some kind of a simple, inexpensive, over-the-counter product. I happen to like Go, the product. It's called Go, G-O, from UltraDent, that's what we use for our over-the-counter product. But I want you to set up a system to achieve one whitening goal per day. Here's how we achieve that using four different drivers or four different action steps. Number one, we take a hygienist takes a shade match of the current patient's tooth color at the beginning of the hygiene appointment. I like to do that once a year. It becomes a great way to let the patients know what color their teeth are in regards to what it could be when we show them the shade guide. Number two, consider value pricing whitening. Consider value pricing it. Price it at enough to make a profit, a small profit, but really consider your main goal and your main motivation to be the restorative and elective dentistry that comes out of your whitening cases. So consider making it value priced. Number three, consider offering lifetime whitening. Now, lifetime whitening only applies if we have custom trays. So in our case, that applies to our chairside whitening and also applies to our custom trays. The way we do that is we provide patients gel during their syringes of gel. We buy the syringe from UltraDent, and we provide them a syringe or two of gel during their hygiene appointment, provided they keep their recommended hygiene appointments. So it's kind of a cool way to motivate your patients to keep their hygiene appointments. And then the fourth tip is to set up a culture in your practice of getting started today. If someone's interested, let's grab an impression. Let's see if they might be able to stay after their hygiene appointment to do a chairside. But let's develop a culture in our practice where we could get started today. So I want to encourage you, again, system number 12, to develop a system to achieve a whitening goal of one whitening procedure per day. Number 13, I want to encourage you to set up a system for conversion exams. Conversion exams. Conversion exams are those patients that you have existing patients in your practice that need a lot of treatment. So it doesn't make sense to come in and do a quick hygiene exam because we won't have enough time to really talk to them about what their treatment needs are. So I like to call what we do with those patients a conversion exam. We might say something like this. The hygienist might say, "Mary, rather than having doctor come in today and doing a quick hygiene exam, I see a lot of issues here, a lot of concerns here. I'd like to have you come on back sometime in the next couple weeks. We'll have you sit down one-on-one with doctor. We'll gather some records, and you and doctor can talk about a plan to get you nice and healthy." So those are conversion exams. something that could be easily implemented in any practice. System number 14, a system for annual team member reviews. Annual team member reviews. While reviews and feedback can happen on a regular basis in your practice, I like to have a formal setup where at least once a year, a doctor sits down with each and every team member and provides a performance review. And by the way, the performance review is not necessarily tied to a raise. In fact, I'd rather separate those two and not have a raise or a salary increase or an hourly increase tied to that performance review. Have that set up another time. So this is strictly to review their performance. You can talk to them about the things they're doing well, the things that they need some improvement on. You can define some resources that you're going to provide to them in the future, and that sets specific goals that you'd like them to accomplish in the next year. So again, talk about what they're doing well. Don't be shy about talking about things that need improvement. Have you and the team member identify resources that she could benefit from. And number four, set up some specific tasks and areas of improvement before her next review. System number 15, a team incentive compensation system, a bonus system. By the way, I don't recommend one generic bonus system or incentive compensation system because I don't think there's one that works. It really depends on your practice. In my client base, virtually every client has some kind of an incentive system set up with their team, but it's very different. We're probably using 15 to 20 different systems across my client base, depending on the nature of the practice. In fact, I will do a future Thriving Dentist show on incentive compensation systems, and I'll share a lot of different concepts that have worked well, what we're doing now in my practice. But for now, let me simply identify it as one of the 24 systems, a system for team incentive compensation. Number 16, a system for effective morning huddles. The morning huddle is a 5 to 7 minute meeting. Happens obviously before the first patient. When we start at 7 a.m., we start those morning huddles at 6:45. And a simple system for you to go through your morning huddle to make it effective. I want to review the hygiene schedule, each hygiene. If we have multiple hygienists, I want to review each hygiene schedule. I want to review the doctor schedule. I want to also review any new patients that we see that day. Whoever took that call is going to talk to us about what they know about the new patient. We're also going to talk about where to identify emergency appointments during the day. And we'll define a morning emergency slot, an afternoon emergency slot. But I have to tell you, morning huddles are all about troubleshooting the day to make it as effective as possible. And I wouldn't want to practice without the idea of doing a morning huddle. It's kind of like, you're either going to huddle and plan for the day or you're going to muddle through it. Let's start doing huddles. Number 18, a system for regular team meetings, including a format to review the previous month practice performance. We do our regular team meetings, a regular staff meeting. I like to use the word team instead of staff, but we use our regular team meetings every 2 weeks. And we do those now on Wednesday morning from 8:30 to 10:30 in the morning. From 8:30 to 10:30. We then start on Wednesday. We start at 11 o'clock. We go straight through 11 to 6 then, as far as patient care. But on the first one that you do every month, I want you to develop a system of reviewing the previous month's performance, sharing it with the team, debriefing it, talking about what went well the previous month, what didn't go well statistically, and then talk about what we can do to improve those. The other meeting is such that you can bring up the regular day, everyday operational things you need to bring up in your team meetings. Number 18, a system for semi-annual planning meetings. I like to do those twice a year. The format that I like to follow is that twice a year, we block an entire day with no patients. The morning we spend in a planning session with our team. That's where we plan the big projects. That might be from 8 till noon. It's useful if you can go off campus, away from your practice too. It doesn't have to be anywhere exotic. It can be, a local country club. It could be a local restaurant that has a private room. It could be your home. doctor. It could be, the library might have a private meeting space. It could be a boardroom at a hotel. But the idea of going off campus so we don't get distracted by the day-to-day things that happen in the practice. And then in the afternoon, what I'd like you to do, this is different, have an open mind. I'd encourage you to go do something together as a team. Doctor and team members, go do some kind of activity, some kind of fun activity together. It might be bowling. It might be miniature golf. It might be an outing on the lake. It might be some kind of fitness activity that you do together. We did with a client of mine, we did a gourmet cooking class together in the afternoon. The way I like to do that is to assign one team member to be responsible for the outing that day, and she can work with her team members to kind of decide what they want to do. Give her a budget, and then go play together. And the idea of doing something together is a tremendous team building opportunity. We do that twice a year. System 19, a system for diagnosing and treating periodontal disease. Hey, periodontal disease is an epidemic. Let's recognize that. If your system for conservative periodontal therapy has not been evaluated in a while, it's likely that it's morphed into something other than what you desire. So you need to set up specific protocols for, number one, when you're going to, how you're going to chart and diagnose clinical signs and symptoms, pocket depths and bleeding points. Once you've done that, we then need a system to identify case types. You could use the AAP guidelines or any other guidelines that you like. Once we have the case types, number three, we have to decide how we're going to treat each particular case type. And then number four, decide what adjunctive therapies you want to introduce into your practice. They could be salivary diagnostics. It could be systemic antibiotics. Could be site-specific antibiotic. It could be bactericidal irrigation. It could be a power toothbrush. It could be something like home irrigation, whether it be through a syringe or a power irrigator. But if it's been a while since you've revisited your system, then it's likely that it needs to be improved. And by the way, this is another one that we can measure. According to experts in periodontal therapy, in a typical practice, assuming a typical age distribution, because perio tends to be aged towards older population, assuming a typical age distribution, then approximately 30% of your patients every month that are in your hygiene department should be treated with some mix of the following codes: 4341, 4342, 4355, and 4910. So, doctor, here's a homework assignment. Pull a report from your practice on code mix and identify the mix of those codes each month over the last year. So again, 4341, 4342, 4355, and 4910. If you're experiencing radically less than 30%, then your system needs to be shored up. So number 19, a system for diagnosing and treating periodontal disease. System number 20, a system for a remarkable new patient experience. There's a couple elements of the new patient experience that I really would encourage you to do. One would be a quick tour. And it's not a behind-the-scenes Disney-type tour. It's a simple three-minute, it's really a virtual tour, but we're kind of walking down the hallway. But the tour accomplishes two things. Number one, it allows you to make a great first impression with your patient. And number two, it allows you to subtly help the patient understand what services are available in your practice. So set up a system for a remarkable new patient experience using a new patient tour. And then secondly, consider introducing a patient interview where you and your team members would sit down, one of your team or your treatment coordinator would sit down with the patient and actually do an interview using seven very specific questions. We ask seven very specific questions in our interview that help us understand the patient's dental story. System 21, a system to use digital photos for patient education. The six photos that we take, and again, these are digital photos, not intraoral photos, but these are digital photos. And the first one is a head and shoulders shot. The second is a close-up retracted view where the patient holds the retractors. And we take a close-up, middle of nose, middle of chin, middle of cheeks. The third and fourth are upper and lower occlusal views. The fifth is a right buccal corridor. The sixth is a left buccal corridor. The patient simply holds a retractor. We point the camera 45 degrees down their buccal corridor. Then I'd like to encourage you to load those photos onto a tablet for patient viewing. The reason why I'd like you to load them onto a tablet is because the process of viewing the photos then becomes active rather than passive. If you simply show them the photos on a monitor, it's a passive process. But if you show it to them on a tablet, it becomes an active process. System 22. Doctor, I want to encourage you to get advanced planning here and set up a system to plan out your major CE, your major continued education, for you and the team for the next 3 years. There's fabulous places to go and get great CE. Let me name just a few of them in a random order here. Spear Education, Frank Spear here in Scottsdale, Arizona. Dr. Gordon Christensen and his practical clinical courses in Provo, Utah. The Pankey Institute in South Florida. Dawson Academy, Pete Dawson Academy in St. Pete Beach, Florida. Ross Nash and the work that he's doing with his cosmetic over-the-shoulder training in Charlotte, North Carolina. David Hornbrook does some really cool over-the-shoulder programs in San Diego and other locations around the country. So I want you to plan your major CE for you and the team for the next 3 years. Now, leave open time to catch the courses that happen to come to town. But as far as planning the major CE, try to stay out there 3 years in advance. It'll not only allow you to build many more new skills into your practice and in new areas of diagnosis and treatment, but also keep dentistry really exciting for you as well. System 23, a hygiene recare system. And I'm using the word recare instead of recall. I like to say recall is what Detroit does to bad cars. But a hygiene recare system to include a process of confirming at-risk hygiene patients, at risk. When I say at risk, what I mean is at risk of not showing up. So here's what I want you to do. And here's the goal. Let's start with the end in mind. Ideally, I'd like 85% of your patients involved in active recall. Active recare in your practice. So 85% or higher should be involved in active recall. One of the things you can do is you can do a simple report, run a report in your practice and discover where you are. Very often, practices are woefully underperforming in this area. So I'd like 85% or more of your patients involved in active recare. The system of identifying at-risk patients means that a week before, I would like your front desk team member to identify patients on your hygiene schedule the next week, not the current week that you're in, but a full week out. So that'll be 7 to 11 days out. I want her to identify patients that you think are at risk of not showing up and start the process of confirming them 7 to 11 days in advance. We're going to confirm them again the day before, but start confirming those 7 to 11 days in advance. When those patients start to fall out, as many of them will because they're at risk, we now have plenty of time to fill those appointments because we're not doing it at the last minute. We use Smile Reminder as a communication system within our practice, so that allows us to send text and SMS email confirmations to our patients, and it's been a remarkable way for us to really stay on top of advance confirming these at-risk patients. You know, when we do this in client offices, I often notice that, you know, let's say 20 patients the next week were identified as at-risk. Very often, a significant number of those, 10, 12, 14 of those, will fall out of the schedule. Wouldn't you rather have them fall out 7 to 11 days advance instead of the day before? That gives you plenty of time to be proactive about it. System 24, we're coming to the home stretch here, a system to reactivate past due hygiene patients. Every practice will have patients that start to slip away, and next thing you know, it's been, you know, 9 months, 10 months, 12 months, 14 months, 18 months since you've seen them. So set up a system to follow up and reactivate patients that are past due. We do that on a regular basis in our practice, and I am amazed at how effective that system is. And very often what the patient says when we contact them is, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's been a year. I can't believe it's been 9 months. And then they say, oh my gosh, it has. And it's a good way to really stay in relationship with those patients and keep them actively involved in your practice. Well, that takes care of listing the 24 systems for a thriving practice. I've tried to give a quick description of each one of the systems and a measuring benchmark, a qualitative measuring benchmark wherever I could. So, Doctor, there you go. I'll have show notes for you, have some resources in the show notes. Let me encourage you to set up that system, measuring those 24 different systems in your practice. By the way, what you're going to find in your practice as you start to go through that list, you'll probably find, well, what I find when I'm visiting practice is in some cases, your system just needs some fine-tuning. In some cases, it needs significant remodeling, revamping, and in some cases, the system isn't present at all. So again, what you're going to find likely is that some of your systems just need a little bit of fine-tuning. Some of them need to be significantly revamped and enhanced. And third, some of them aren't present at all. Pick a couple of these a month and keep working through it diligently till you get to the end of the year. You will have audited all 24 of your systems, shore them back up to ideal, and next thing you know, you have a practice that is running very, very smoothly. By the way, if you'd like any help with this, please know that myself and my coaches would be happy to help you with this project. It can seem overwhelming. We have some very effective coaching solutions that can help you with this. If you have any interest in that, please visit TACAS, T-A-K-A-C-S, Learning Center. Or better yet, send me an email, Gary at TACAS, T-A-K-A-C-S, learningcenter.com. Send me an email. Let me know you might be interested in some coaching consulting, and I'll reply back to you. I'd love the opportunity to come visit you and help you develop your ideal practice. On that basis, let me simply say thank you. I sure appreciate your listenership to the Thriving Dentist Show. We've now been downloaded by dentists and dental professionals in 128 countries. Really appreciate the fact that you spend time with me every week. Hope we're providing lots of useful information to you. The last request that I have is if you like what you hear on the Thriving Dentist Show, you can do us a big favor. You can jump on iTunes and write us a review. Just go on iTunes. If you click on, first click on the tab podcast, type in Thriving Dentist Show, the podcast will come up. If you click on the icon for the show, the image for the show, it'll take you to a page where you'll notice that you can read and write reviews. I think we have quite a number of reviews up there already, but we'd always like more. The act of having more reviews helps other dentists find us and helps us expand our listening audience. On that basis, let me simply say thank you and let you know I'll look forward to connecting with you on the next Thriving Dentist Show.
When you cry, be sure to dry your eyes, 'cause better days are sure to come. And when you smile, be sure to smile wide, and don't let them know that they have won. And when you walk, walk with pride, don't show the hurt inside, because the pain will soon be gone. And when you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big.